Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor, Keep a Quiet Heart, and Discipline the Glad Surrender. Helping you face your journey with joy today, here's your friend Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about favorite hymns. Is there anybody listening to me today who really wishes that they could hide? I've often felt that way. Oh, if I could just hide myself. You know, it often happens after I've done a talk, if not on the radio, sometimes on a platform. And oh dear, I think I just would like to crawl away into a hole somewhere and just be forgotten. I'd hate to think what memories people might have of that talk. Well, of course, that's just self-preoccupation, self-centeredness. And we need to hide from ourselves, don't we? We need to get away from ourselves. And one of the hymns that helps me to do that is one of the beautiful hymns that came out of Scotland, I believe. It's written by Augustus M. Toplady. The hymn is Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood from thy riven side, which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. And we've got old English words here that may be difficult for some to understand. Let's think about those words again of that first stanza. Rock of Ages, I'm sure, is a reference to God himself, specifically to Christ in this passage, because it refers to his being killed on the cross, cleft. And you remember that after he had been crucified, that a soldier plunged a sword into his side, and out of his wounded side came blood and water. The idea of God as a rock goes back to the Old Testament, where it occurs many, many times. Hannah, in her prayer of thanksgiving for the son that God had given her, prayed, "There is no rock like our God." David, in one of his psalms, said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock." In another psalm, he says, "Who is a rock except our God?" The Bible has this term, rock of salvation. The psalmist prayed, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." In 1 Corinthians 10:4, we read, "They drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." Paul is referring here to the children of Israel in their travels through the wilderness. And you remember the story about when they had no water. And God told Moses to speak to the rock, and that the rock would send forth water. And that is exactly what happened. The rock was cleft, cleaved in two, I guess in modern English we might say cleaved, split in two, and out of the rock came water for the refreshment of the children of Israel. Christ hanging on the cross was pierced by the sword of one of the soldiers, and out of his side came blood and water. The means of our salvation, the blood which he shed on Calvary, the water of our baptism, which is the symbol of our death in Christ, our burial in Christ. So let me read the words again with those few thoughts for background, and think of these if you haven't thought of them before, although many of you I know remember the hymn and have sung it many times. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. There is a Savior. Don't ever forget, there is a Savior. There is a cure for sin and its guilt and its power. It's such a comfort to me to think of those simple six words of the first line, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. And when I come to God in prayer, feeling so guilty, so useless, so worthless, feeling as though God can't even be listening to my prayers, what a comfort it is to know that the one to whom I come in prayer is the one who was cleft for me, split in two, tortured to death, poured out his life. That's my Savior. That's the one to whom I bring my prayers. Now, there isn't any other way of salvation except his blood. The second stanza of this hymn says, Not the labors of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I think of my dear old friend Dorothy Collins, an old lady who died in her 90s on Cape Cod. And a number of times in the few years that I knew her before she died, we talked about these two lines. She would quote them so often, just looking up, as it were, to heaven, and I can see her sort of clasping her hands as she said these words, Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. And another favorite hymn of mine is And Can It Be? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. In other words, the highest angel in heaven, the firstborn seraph, can't begin to sound the depths of God's love. And the hymn goes on, 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more. 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. And that's you and me, isn't it? Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And that stanza reminds us of Paul's being in prison, chained between two guards night and day. And he was delivered miraculously by an angel, wasn't he? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And the last stanza says, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Think about the fact that you and I, through repentance and forgiveness, can be clothed in righteousness divine and boldly approach the eternal throne. We who could not possibly dwell in eternal light are given the righteousness of Christ, and we can approach boldly the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ our own. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Now, I think I forgot to give you the author of that one. It's Charles Wesley, one of the two Wesley brothers who turned England upside down. John Wesley, the great preacher. Charles was also a preacher, but better known for the hundreds of hymns that he wrote. And this is one of his beautiful hymns. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood?
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.